Please open your Bibles to Genesis 39. We continue to look at the story of Joseph, which gives us a series of pictures of a godly life's portraits, snapshots of what a godly life looks like. What can you expect if you're a follower of Jesus Christ? What will be our experience as a Christian be? What does a godly life look like? Well, we've already seen a couple of portraits of a godly life in the life of Joseph. In the first portrait, we saw that Joseph was the loved and favored son. And we saw that that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was greatly loved, highly favored by God the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we saw that by us being in Christ, by our being joined to him by faith, that love and favor which comes upon Jesus by nature comes upon us by grace. In Christ, we are greatly loved and highly favored. After that, we looked at a very different portrait of what a godly life looks like. We saw that Joseph was also hated and despised. And so, just as Jesus was loved and favored by God the Father, at the same time he was hated and despised by the world. And in the same way, there will be a reflection of that experience in all of his followers as well, which is why 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It will be part of our experience as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ that in some way we will share in the rejection that is his in the world. Well, today we come to a third portrait of a godly life where we see that Joseph was blessed and prosperous. The word prosperous was used twice in the six verses that we read. And I want you to notice that the experience of the Christian in the world is usually mixed. Well, no, it's always mixed. So much so that at times a Christian life may even seem contradictory. The Christian is loved and favored, yet hated and despised, and also blessed and prosperous. So how do all these come together at the same time? Well, the answer is that as a Christian, you are in Christ by faith, and yet at the same time, you are in the world. We are citizens of heaven, and yet we still live upon the earth. And so therefore, don't be surprised if sometimes you find it difficult to make sense of your experience. Don't be surprised if there are times when you are saying, you know, I don't quite see how all of this fits together. At the same time, we experience both the pain of what is and yet the joy of what shall be. It's the nature of the Christian life in this world. Now, the story of Joseph is wonderfully helpful because it lays out some of these portraits of a godly life, but there's also something else here. The story of Joseph is given not only to show us what a godly life looks like, but also the story of Joseph is also there to shine a floodlight, as it were, on Jesus Christ. Picture yourself, you know, walking through this gallery of these different sort of pictures, snapshots, Joseph's life. And the curator of the gallery says, let me show you something. And so he says, okay, I want you to look at this picture. What do you see? And you tell him what you see, something about Joseph. And he says, is that all you see? I said, yeah, that's all I see. He says, well, just stand there. It sort of gets you by the shoulder, tilts you that way. He says, just keep looking. You see anything different? I can't see anything different. He says, well, let me just go and adjust the lighting here. And he goes at the back there and he changes the lighting a little bit, can't see anything. And then he shines a bit of a light in a particular direction, and all of a sudden you see something that you didn't see before. All of a sudden in this picture of Joseph's life, there is this silhouette that you didn't see before. It's over the whole thing. There's another character there. And so it is with the life of Joseph. The Old Testament actually is like that. It's all there to help us to understand who Jesus is and what he has done and all that is ours in him. That's particularly what we see this morning. Recently, I heard a quote from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and it did surprise me initially, when something like this, that the message of the Old Testament is the same as the message of the New Testament, except that in the Old Testament it's easier to understand. And I sort of think, well, that's probably the wrong way around. You know, the Old Testament's got to be harder, the New Testament's got to be easier. But this was his point, I think it's well made. The New Testament is full of profound spiritual truth, whereas the Old Testament is full of earthly human stories. And the earthly human stories in the Old Testament are given to us in order that they would help us to understand spiritual truth. That they would provide a framework, you know, flesh and blood, life experiences that help to illustrate profound spiritual truth which is described for us in the New Testament. For example, in the New Testament, we read of this staggering spiritual truth called the Incarnation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lays aside his glory and comes as a servant. What does it mean that Jesus would lay his glory by? Put off the form of God. What does that mean? Well, I go back to the Old Testament where I read this story. It gives me a picture. Joseph had this marvelous coat of many colours. But now as we read chapter 39, we see that it's laid aside and he appears in a different form in another place, a place called Egypt. No one in Egypt had seen that marvellous coat, indicating his status as a loved and favoured son. All they see is this very average-looking servant. He arrives in the form of a servant, in the likeness of normal men. Nobody could see that he was the loved and favoured son, not at least for some time. Old Testament stories are given to us as windows through which we can view great truths about Jesus Christ. And this is why it's so valuable for parents and grandparents and for Sunday school teachers and leaders in children's ministry to tell children great stories of the Bible, the great Old Testament stories of the Bible. And we must teach them always with a view and making connections to Jesus Christ. If we don't make the connections to Jesus Christ, you know, often the Old Testament stories are just, and the moral of the story is, be courageous like Daniel, be brave like David, be, you know, something like that. And there's always a moral there to apply. We can see that. It's very necessary. We understand that. But if we don't make connections to Jesus Christ, we're going to be missing something. Actually, the major thing. Because we can't dare to be a Daniel unless the Lord Jesus does something very, very different in our sinful, wicked hearts. Moral stories are important, certainly. But there's more to see. There's certainly more to see. The Old Testament stories of floodlights shone on Jesus Christ, helping the young and old alike to have a framework of mind which is then able to grasp spiritual truth, because there's so many illustrations of that in the Old Testament, all about who Jesus is and what he has done and all that is ours in him. So today we're looking at Joseph, blessed and prosperous in Potiphar's house. What does it mean to be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? Ephesians 1:3, that's a profound spiritual truth. What does that mean? How does that work? Well, I want you to see this morning how that is beautifully illustrated so clearly in the earthly story of Joseph, and every child can understand. The outline of the story is very simple. God's blessing was on Joseph. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of all that he had. God's blessing came to Potiphar through Joseph. Now, for the most part of the message this morning, we're going to look at Joseph's story, and that's why it's got more room on the outline sheet. Then we're going to look at Potiphar's story very briefly, and very briefly conclude by seeing how all this shines light on God's story. So to begin with, in the first three verses, We see that God's blessing was on Joseph. Verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And the fascinating thing is that the entire sort of Egyptian project of building pyramids, it began before Joseph and it continued after Joseph, but it was going on. It was at its height during Joseph's life. And Joseph's eyes, I'm sure, popped out of his head as he sees for the very first time these amazing, huge geometric structures, some recently completed, some still being built. The Ishmaelites travel, no doubt, along the Nile River. They come to some centre of population, and then they put Joseph up for sale. And so in this way, Joseph comes to Potiphar's house. Verse 1 continues, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And then verse 2, we read this wonderful statement that the Lord was with Joseph. And that must have been a marvelous comfort to Joseph. Think about it. Fell in his situation. Must have been a marvelous comfort to Joseph. Joseph had been separated from the presence of his father, but nothing could separate him from the presence of God. Joseph's brothers had taken his robe from him, but no one could take the blessing of God from him. The Lord was with Joseph, verse 2 continues, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. This is quite a journey of promotion for Joseph. He arrives at Potiphar's house 17 years old. And most likely, as the most recent acquisition to the household, he would have been sent out, start work out in the fields, working at the lowest level. But what follows is a remarkable career in which Joseph keeps being promoted. Verse 2, he's brought into the house. Verse 4, he becomes Potiphar's personal assistant. He serves him like his valet. He waits upon him. In verse 4 again, he becomes the overseer or the manager of the household. And then in verse 5, Potiphar puts Joseph in charge of what? All that he had, both in the house and in the field. By any standards, this man has a remarkable career. He's a big success in the employment of this distinguished man, Potiphar. And the scripture underlines this by using the word prosper two times in two verses. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And here we have a very good picture of a man who was very successful in his career, good success in his job. Now I want to pause just for a moment for us to think about Joseph's work. Joseph's work, verse 3, second part of the verse. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Let me look at that phrase, all that he did. We ask the question, well, what did he do? Well, the answer is obviously he did many things, but one of the things, and probably one of the first things he had to do, was to learn a foreign language. When he arrived in Egypt, presumably he didn't know one word of the language, and he had to learn it from scratch. And then in order to become the manager of this household, he would have had to have been familiar with some form of accounting. He would need to acquire some management skills. There were no online courses. They could do these things. He would have had to learn all these things by observation, by asking questions, by taking initiative. He's a rapid learner. He's a good student. He's a hard worker. And Joseph gave himself to all of this, and God gave him success. The blessing of God, think about it, you know, God looking down from heaven and he smiles and he puts his hand of blessing on all of this. Here's Joseph working, doing work, and God looks at him and smiles and pours out his blessing upon this. That tells us something about the importance of our work, our job, our career, our employment. Your work matters. It's something from heaven God looks upon. See, how you're going. Your work matters to God. And how you work at your work matters to God. It should matter to us. It's clear from this story, from these multiple promotions, that Joseph did really well with his work. He was reliable. His conscientious state, focused on the job, wasn't easily distracted. He was honest. Potiphar knew he could trust him. He was loyal to the household that from which he earned his living. There was a pleasantness about his demeanor. Joseph brought nothing but good to the house of Potiphar and to his entire household. Now, this is, I think, very, very striking, because it would have been very easy for Joseph, having arrived in Egypt under these circumstances, to arrive with a very, very big chip on his shoulders. I don't want to be here. This place stinks. I hate this place. Why should I have to labour doing a miserable job? I hate this work. It's not fair. Everything is so unjust. Why did this happen to me? Why does God allow my brothers to get away with what they did and I end up with this? We can imagine Joseph being the most difficult person with the worst possible attitude out of that whole household. But no, there's not a hint of that in Joseph. Joseph knows the Lord is with him. And God is glorified in this situation as Joseph goes about his work. God is greatly glorified in this situation as Joseph just goes about his work. Try to put yourself in Joseph's shoes. God has previously spoken to you, revealed to you that he's got some very, very important project for your life. Yet here you are labouring in some foreign field. In a foreign country, doing this kind of work. And can you imagine yourself asking, you know, what in the world does this have to do with, you know, God's will for my life? I thought I was going to have some significant ministry, some big part to play in God's plans. Well, later you get promoted. You become the chief accountant, the general manager, the CEO, the director of operations. And now from the field you go to an office. You've got a nice desk, air conditioned. And you sit at your desk in your nice offices and you wonder, what on earth am I doing here? Why am I doing this? All my life, serving Potiphar, working for Potiphar. What does this have to do with serving God, working for God? What does this have to do with God's plan for my life? Well, it had everything to do with serving the Lord, because this was the service that the Lord gave him. This was the work that God gave him to do. This was part of God's very, very big plan. And Joseph gives us a very marvelous model in all of this. It's what we see here in the life of Joseph and his responses, this human story. It's like, you know, the way that the New Testament would describe it as doing, you know, things as unto the Lord. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now that's addressed to employees in your employment. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That's a Christian view of the workplace. This is what God has given you to do. This is where God has set you down. This is something very, very wonderfully uplifting in regard to the Christian's approach to work, to understand this. This is the work that God has given me to do. This is the employment that God has given. This is the service I do for God in this place. I don't do it just for men. I do it to the Lord. And God looks upon this. This matters to God. And the blessing of God can be poured out upon my life as I do the right thing by God in the workplace. Your work is a very important aspect of your service for God. Secondly, let's consider Joseph's perseverance. How long was Joseph working for Potiphar? Well, the answer is that Joseph served in Potiphar's house for 11 years. We know that simply because Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold as a slave. That's Genesis 37, verse 2. He was 30 at the time that he was promoted as prime minister in Egypt. That was Genesis 41, 46. And in between those two things, there are 2 years in which Joseph spent in prison, 2 full years. And so he's 30 years old minus 17 years old gives you 13 years minus 2 years in prison gives you 11. 11 years that Joseph was serving as an employee in Potiphar's house. You know, some people have the idea that success should come very quickly. Particularly if you're a young person, you think that way. You know, I've been in this job a whole year. What's happening? Why aren't I the CEO? But this story shows us another way, a better way. Sudden success is fraught with spiritual dangers. Sudden success is fraught with spiritual dangers. If in some way you experience sudden success, then be on your guard. You need to be very, very careful. Many people have come unstuck through sudden success or sudden prosperity. You have stories who became suddenly wealthy. You know, they win it or whatever. And often the next chapter of their life is very, very tragic. It's fertile ground for pride and presumption and ambition and recklessness. Why? Because you haven't had the opportunity to prepare for the responsibility that comes with it. A wise person once said, the worst thing that can happen to a man is that he should succeed before he is ready. God knows when you're ready to be trusted with more. And remember that when we think about the long time that Joseph was serving in Potiphar's house, trust is earned. Trust is earned. And this is particularly true in the workplace. No one has the right to be trusted. There's no such thing as the right to be trusted. You earn trust by proving faithful over time. There's the formula. You earn trust by proving faithful over time. And this is why it's very significant that Joseph had favor with God long before he had favor with Potiphar. It's always that way. Why? Because the favor of God upon us comes as a gift of his grace. Okay, we don't earn that. It's lavished upon us because we are in Christ. The Lord was with him. The blessing of God was upon him. That's not earned, that's a gift. But Joseph had to win the favor of Potiphar. And he did that over time by his loyalty. And by the quality of his work over time. That's why verse 4 says, and Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight. This was a growing trust that was earned over time. As character was observed, as loyalty was evidenced, as submission was displayed, as the quality of his work became increasingly apparent, this is the reason why he's continually promoted. Now here's the principle comes right out of the New Testament. The person who is faithful in little is the person who can be trusted with more. Remember the story that Jesus told, the servants who were trusted with the responsibility, do the right thing. Master will reckon it when he gets home. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, be thou ruler over many. If you're faithful in a few things, I'll make you ruler over much. So there's a great principle to keep in mind. Be faithful. Focus your best efforts on what God has entrusted you to do now. Don't waste your life, your half your life thinking, you know, what's the next thing I'm going to do? The best place to flourish is the place where God sets you down. Focus your best efforts on what God has given you to do right now. Whatever he's given you to do, do it with all your heart. Wherever that is, do it with all your heart. There are no perfect places in which to serve the Lord. So don't wait for it. Don't go looking for it. There are no perfect places. Do your best where you are now. Because whatever opportunities may open to you in the future, you are in a large measure being shaped for that right now through the work that you're doing today. So always do your best work. Others are watching. You never know who may be measuring you for a greater task as you faithfully do the work that God has given you to do now. Joseph's work, we see his perseverance. Thirdly, we see Joseph's testimony, verse 3. And his master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him. And he also saw that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. If you are successful in your work, if God grants you advancement, If God gives you promotion in your chosen career, remember that success is a evidence of the grace and mercy of God upon your life. So make sure that God gets the credit for it. Make sure God gets the glory. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph knew this. And it's very interesting that Potiphar also saw this. And that can only mean that in some way Joseph had gained the opportunity through the credibility of his work. Joseph gained the opportunity to give some sort of spoken testimony to his employer as to who the Lord is and the influence of the Lord in his own life. Remember, Potiphar lived in a culture of a multiplicity of gods associated with the sun and the moon and the stars and the rivers and all of that. And through Joseph, he came to hear about a great God who made the sun and the moon and the stars and set the rivers in their courses. He is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, who would in the future reveal himself to Moses as the great I Am. And the quality of Joseph's work opened the door for him to give testimony to this great God who was the ruler over his life. So God's blessing was upon Joseph. Here's the second thing. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of all that he had. Verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he, that's Potiphar, made him overseer of all his house, over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. Now let's look at this story through the eyes of Potiphar. If Potiphar were here today, he might say something like this. Joseph was the best thing that ever happened to me. First time I saw him, he was pretty messed up. The Ishmaelite traders told me some story about him being thrown into a pit, but he's strong. And I decided to take a chance on him. He was pretty cheap. But I can tell you that Joseph was the best employee I've ever had. Everything I asked this man to do got done. And whenever he had done that, he always asked if he could do some more. And as an employer, you can't buy that kind of enthusiasm. I started him out in the field, but before long I said to my family, like, look, Joseph, I really like him. He's a great guy. He's done a great job. I think I'll bring him into the household and give him more responsibility. And so we did that. I started giving him more and more things to do. And what Joseph didn't know, he found out by learning language, accounting, management. He found a way to master it. Whatever Joseph did was always done well. And over time, I found that when I had something important that needed to get done, my first thought was, let's give it to Joseph. He'll do it well. One day I told Joseph, I really appreciate his work. And of all the people that I employed, I felt that I could trust him. There was an integrity about him. He was different from everyone else that worked for me. And when I asked him why, okay, this is the really important bit, got to listen to this, okay? And when I asked him why, he told me about his God. We've got all kinds of gods in Egypt, I said. What's so special about yours? And he told me about his God and how his God had appeared to his great-grandfather Abraham. And given Abraham a promise of an heir who would be a blessing, bring blessing to people of all nations. And he looked at me and said, all nations, Potiphar, that includes you. And he told me about his grandfather, Isaac, whose life would have been forfeit, laid down, except that God provided a sacrifice in his place. And he said, Potiphar, that's the way my God saves people, provides a sacrifice to die in our place. Then he told me about his father, Jacob, who'd been a very devious man, apparently a real cheat and a liar. Well, we all know that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And so I said to Joseph, you know, how is it that an honest guy like you could come from a father as twisted as that? And Joseph said, well, that's the grace of God. I'll tell you something else about my dad. God brought a great transformation in my father's life. The same grace that has been working in my life also worked in my father's life. Well, what about your brothers, I asked. They beat you up, put you in a pit. Joseph looked me straight in the eye and said, mark my words, one day the grace of God will so transform their lives. It'll be a miracle. Well, Potiphar continues, well, I'm a businessman. I know a good opportunity when I see one. So here's what I figured. If God is blessing Joseph, maybe that blessing could come to me as well. If God is for him, well, it makes sense for me to be for him too. So I thought, here's what I'll do. I'll put Joseph in charge of everything I have. So I said, Joseph, here's what I want you to do. I want you to run my life. Run the household. Use all that is here. It's all in your hands. Use it as you see best. I trust it all to you. I'm putting everything in your hands. And I have to tell you, that's the best decision I ever made. I discovered that Joseph was better able to run my life than I was able to run my life. So I put it all in Joseph's hands. And I can tell you the blessing of God came upon me because of that. The blessing of God came upon me because of him. So firstly, we see God's blessing was on Joseph. Secondly, Potiphar put everything he had into Joseph's hands. Which leads us to the last thing. God's blessing came to Potiphar through Joseph. Verse 5, and it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in all his house and all that he had. From that moment, what happened? The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Potiphar puts Joseph in charge of all that he has, and as soon as he puts it in Joseph's hands, from that time onward, the blessing of God that was upon Joseph was extended to Potiphar as well. And the reason that it was extended to Potiphar as well was not because there was anything particularly good about Potiphar. It was for Joseph's sake that the blessing of this loved and favored son came to the one who was willing to trust everything into his hands. You're beginning to see how this earthly human story is shining a light on what it means for us to be blessed in Christ Jesus, the loved and favored Son. We are blessed because of the blessing that rests upon the Lord Jesus. It comes to us. Why is all of this in the Bible? All of this is pointing us to the Lord Jesus. Jesus is our Joseph, okay, in our story. What Joseph was to Potiphar, Jesus is to us. Jesus Christ is the loved and favored Son. The Father sends the Son on a dangerous mission to seek the good of his rebel brothers. What does the Son do? He lays his glory by. He comes in the form of a servant. He is the one who succeeds in all that he does. That's why Isaiah 53 says that the pleasure of the Lord prospers in his hand. He is the blessed man of Psalm 1. Whatever he does prospers. And God's blessing is on Jesus. That's the central message of the Bible. He's the anointed one, the blessed of God in the Old Testament, the Messiah. And through Jesus, and because of Jesus, and for Jesus' sake, the blessing of God can come upon you and can come upon me. This is a great New Testament truth that in shorthand can be written up in this way, that we are in Christ, and therefore we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. What does that actually mean? What does the relationship with Christ look like? What does that look like? How does that work for us? Well, all of that, all the questions about that are wonderfully answered, beautifully put in the story which is before us today. You put Jesus Christ in charge of all that you are. You put Jesus Christ in charge of all that you have. You let Jesus Christ run your life. And the blessing of God which is upon Jesus will be extended to you. So here's the challenge for us today from the Old Testament. Could it be said of you today that Jesus Christ is truly the overseer of your life? Everything about your life you put into Jesus' hand, let him be the overseer of all of that. All that you are, all that you have. Could it be said that all that you have is in his hands and you give him the freedom, you give him the authority to do with it as he sees fit? You place everything in his hands. Have you given Jesus Christ charge of everything? If not, why not? Do you really think that taking your own life in your own hands is a better idea than putting it in his hands? Do you think that you can do a better job of running your life than he can do running your life? Do you not want this to be true of you, as it says in verse 4? That from the time that you made Jesus Christ overseer of your life, you had the blessing of God resting upon your life for Jesus' sake. Friends, the blessing of God is on Jesus Christ, and through him, that blessing can be ours. Through him, all the nations of the earth, Australian nations and people within Australia, we can be greatly blessed. Why would you not say to him today, Lord, be the overseer of my life. Be the overseer of my household. Take charge. I put it all in your hands. You came as a servant, but I'm making you Lord. I'm happy to allow you to be Lord of my life. That's what's being pictured for us here. Give all that you are, give all that you have into his hands. Lord Jesus, be the overseer of my life. You be the master of all that I have. I place it all in your hands. I trust you to do that which is best concerning me. Place everything that you have into the hands of the servant of the Lord. Allow him to be the master of your life. And the blessing of God the Father, which is upon his beloved Son, can also rest upon you. You can be blessed with all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. On your outline sheet, you've got, three headings. God's blessing was on Joseph. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of all that he had. God's blessing came to Potiphar through Joseph. Why don't we just make some addendums there? Number one, God's blessing was on Jesus. Number two, Glenn, your name, put Jesus in charge of all that he had. God's blessing came upon you, your name, through Jesus. This is a wonderful truth, profound truth in the New Testament, wonderfully illustrated for us there in the old. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Old Testament. Whatsoever things are written there, are written for our learning. And we thank you for the profit that we can gain from them. Lord, not just light for our minds. Lord, these are things for our hearts. This challenges our will. And Lord, even as Potiphar set for us a great example here, in entrusting everything into Joseph's hand, Lord, I pray that we would follow that good example, in as much as he points us to what our action should be in committing everything in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to do this. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your